the Divided Kingdom radio program, heard with cutting-edge information since 2003. Mr. and Mrs. America, that's Luke Caverly and I, Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly, are your co-hosts. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Again, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Go to the archives section to hear our last vital emergency program. Sometimes the past shows might not be updated. There was a slight temporary glitch. A listener let us know. The listener tried to find the emergency program and couldn't, but that's completely fixed now. So when you go to DividedKingdomRadio.com, go to the section that says Archives, and there you can hear that program, which was July 2nd. It's very important. If you are a Christian or a conservative, you must hear that program. And you can hear us on WWCR.com and on the Internet, and you can also hear us on 4.840 megahertz on WWCR, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings, repeating on 7.490 megahertz, Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. Hear us also on Liberty Works Network, LWRN.net, Mondays at 5 p.m., repeating at 11 p.m. Our newest venue is KStarTalkRadio.com. And here is the phone number. Your normal charges apply to listen to us at kstartalkradio.com, 1-605-562-5330. And the times that you can hear us on kstartalkradio.com are at 5 p.m. Saturdays and 10 a.m. Sundays. And again, that number to call to hear our program on KStar Talk Radio is 1-605-562-5330.
This is Lou Caverly. Elizabeth and I were interested in what syndicated columnist Steve Roberts had to say about the Tulsa Trump rally before it occurred, June 20th. Usually, Roberts' columns are filled with a typical radical left's irrational hatred toward President Trump.
And I have to interject that Stephen Roberts and his late wife, Cokie Roberts, also, both of them really had this vitriol, this attitude toward anything that President Trump did.
That's right, Elizabeth. And I remember how upset you were, saying, it's too soon to have the Tulsa rally when COVID has started to surge. We hardly ever agree with even one word written by columnist Steve Roberts, but his words Sunday, June 21st, caught our attention. These were those words. This weekend, President Trump is planning to hold a campaign rally in Tulsa with thousands of fervent supporters crammed inside a sports arena. The local paper, the Tulsa World, urged him not to come, saying it was the, quote, wrong time and the wrong place, unquote, to stage an event that could cause a spike in COVID-19 cases. Bruce Start, the city's chief health officer, warned that the crowd could ignite a perfect storm, those are his words, a perfect storm of conditions to spread the virus. So those were the words from that column. There was one report that another rally was planned inside a large metropolitan church. We think this never came about, as we saw neither saw nor heard any press reports as the COVID-19 suddenly roared back with a vengeance.
And Lou, another columnist we usually don't agree with at all is Susan Estrich, who posed the question before the Tulsa event, quote, if you need waivers because you know you are putting people at heightened risk, why do it? You see, listeners, each of what turned out to be 19,000 attendees at the Tulsa Trump rally had to sign a waiver in order to be there. In other words, if any of them got COVID-19 later, they could never sue whoever in the upper hierarchy of the Republican leadership decided this was as guilty as any deep state member of the elite with his condescension and cynicism toward the all-too-trusting, good soul-of-the-earth, flyover-country Americans. I was shocked, saddened, disillusioned. And accompanying that spiritual betrayal seemed to be, again, that spirit of Isaiah 9:11. You should look up those scriptures. You'll be amazed. You know, they were part of the book, The Harbinger, and that book was so important because it more or less stated that judgment had begun on America, and it told about at ground zero the sycamore tree. It was an American type of sycamore tree called America's Promise. It did not thrive. It died. America's Promise, you see, died. So we think that this spirit is still going on. It is still going on in this kind of a cocksure arrogance, perhaps was epitomized here before the Tulsa rally, in 74-year-old former Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain. And Cain had the bravado to attend the Tulsa rally without a mask. Herman Cain said June 12th on Twitter, "Don't believe the scare stories. A serious look at the numbers tells you there's no second wave starting."
Yes, 12 days later came the headline, this headline.
And I'm going to interject again, hearing the spiritual voice of God, "Though the bricks are falling, we will build bigger and better." Does that sound a little familiar to all of you? Pick up that story, Lou, about Herman Cain.
Yes, the headline said, "Herman Cain hospitalized after testing positive for coronavirus." And we will interject, how many more ordinary Americans suffered the same fate, only pushed down the memory hole of COVID-19, never to be mentioned? These are the words on that article from WorldNet Daily, published July the 2nd, 2020. Former Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain has been hospitalized and is being treated for COVID-19, according to a statement Thursday. Cain's staff announced on Twitter that the 74-year-old businessman was admitted to the hospital near Atlanta on Wednesday, but is doing well and is not on a ventilator. Cain was notified on Monday that he had tested positive for the novel coronavirus, and by Wednesday had developed symptoms serious enough that he required hospitalization, the statement said. His staff said they don't know how Cain became infected. Now, we will say, of course, they don't know how Cain became infected. We have to ask Elizabeth and I whether the Tulsa rally would have been better done in July or maybe early August. This idea of thousands of people signing away their very lives to simply attend a political rally seems, again, a lot like the 9/11 hubris when Tom Daschle and John Edwards boasted that very boast that Elizabeth just talked about from Isaiah 9/11. "The bricks have fallen, we will build bigger and bigger," to paraphrase. Was the MAGA rally too soon? This program, The Divided Kingdom, is not for dummies. Elizabeth and I were called, we believe, by God to warn true Bible-believing Christians and patriotic conservatives of the grave danger America faces. We really are at 1 minute till midnight. July 2nd's emergency broadcast had, among other things, allegations of guillotines stored in readiness for the fall of America. Once again, we start this program with a horrifying emergency prophetic vision. First of all, Elizabeth and I must warn you that this may be a good person misled, thinking God has spoken when really Satan has deceived him. We are all familiar with the abominations in churches, things like so-called holy laughter, falling down, supposedly, quote, slain in the spirit, but at the same time writhing in snake-like kundalini spirit contortions. Yet God does warn in real dreams and visions. Take God's warnings to Joseph to flee to Egypt with Mary and the baby Jesus. And in the Old Testament, Joseph's dream about his brothers bowing down to him, that came true. And Daniel's last days for beast dream and visions. So you can hear this account and pray for God's wisdom as you try to discern truth. Regardless, it is wise, we think, to prepare urgently. And this came from Natural News, July 5th. The headline was, "Pastor's Prophetic Vision Sees the UN Troops on the Streets of America, this year with entire cities destroyed and an economic collapse that plunges the nation into chaos." This was posted by Mike Adams. Pastor Dana Carverstone has been shown several prophetic dreams over the last 7 months or so, and the visions he saw for the spring and summer of this year have already come true. If you go to naturalnews.com and go down to some of the recent articles, you can find a video in which he actually describes his vision. That's at naturalnews.com. Going on with the article, some of the more notable passages from his explanation include scenes of a financial collapse, UN troops in the streets of America, military roundups of U.S. citizens, the collapse of U.S. cities, and mass deaths. He saw a finger underline November 3 times on a calendar, and a fist balled up, hitting the calendar. The calendar exploded into the wall. Numbers, seeming to be the third, were falling everywhere. A cloud of chaos came with armed protesters fighting in the streets. Businesses were shuttered and shut up. He saw schools closed with cobwebs hanging in them. He saw bank buildings with the roofs being taken off. Money was being sucked skyward into something like a vacuum cleaner. He viewed Washington, D.C. burning and people being rounded up there. There were Chinese and Russian soldiers on the ground. Russian soldiers told the Chinese soldiers to go pick up certain people. And they were also told to secure a certain area. There were blue-helmeted UN troops. He saw no sign of President Trump or leadership in Washington, D.C. Vultures, perhaps symbolic of destruction, were like gargoyles 10 feet off the ground, attacking people mercilessly. He saw people hiding in the homes or garages. He saw churches and homes being burned. In Pastor Dana Coverstone's words, quote, "I saw absolute chaos. The first punch on the November of 2020 calendar is what got my attention. Then I heard the words again, quote, brace yourself, brace yourself, brace yourself." Pastor Coverstone gives these warnings. First of all, you need to be preparing by saving up food and accumulating food for this dangerous time. Next, make sure you have some gold or silver. And again, guns and ammunition you must have because of defunding the police. Make sure you're able to defend yourself. The pastor's closing words are these, quote, "I also believe you need to be praying like you never prayed before," unquote.
As we move on toward our main theme tonight, Corona Strikes Again, we first bring you vital other headlines on that coronavirus and also some new news about BLM Antifa chaos. And as a preface, I must say that both Lou and I were personally greatly heartened by President Donald Trump's magnificent speech at Mount Rushmore on July 3rd, and that was there with that wonderful young governor, Kristi Noem. Almighty God must have been very pleased with the regard for all life, even the unborn, being precious, and the avowed defense of America's founders and our unique history of freedom. But, you know, we must all pray, as Pastor Coverstone recommended, and we have to really invoke from our leaders what we need. From Trump's bully pulpit and executive power, he needs to aid the disappearing police from America. The aid he needs to give is to stop this disappearance. These police are retiring in droves. And with this $1 billion cut in New York and taking away the plainclothes detectives and police, this is just disaster. This cannot be allowed to continue. This cannot be. Teddy Roosevelt would act. We need a law and order president. It is good to have the executive order protecting the statues, and they have arrested about 150 people, but we need much more. And again, as Pastor Coverstone said, "I also believe you," and this is directed to you listeners of the Divided Kingdom, "you need to be praying like you never prayed before." Listeners, the evil can be foiled with your prayers of repentance and submission to Jesus Christ. He is beseeching you so he can intervene.
Now we have some headlines The first group is dated July the 6th. Informed consent is under assault as all truthful information on vaccines is labeled misinfo and censored from the web. Corporate America is now funding open terrorism across America with money funneling to Black Lives Matter extremists. Some of these corporations include Adidas, American Airlines, Amazon, American Express, Apple Music, Burger King, Cadillac, Cartoon Network, Chick-fil-A, Coca-Cola, DirecTV, Disney, Doritos, Federal Express, Gatorade, GM, Goldman Sachs, Google, Habitat for Humanity, HBO, Hershey's, Home Depot, Lowe's, IBM, Lego, McDonald's, Merck, MetLife, and New York Life, NASCAR, Netflix, IKEA, the NFL, the NHL, Nike, Pfizer, PlayStation, Starbucks, Taco Bell, Twitter, Wendy's, Warner Brothers, YouTube, and that's just a few of them.
And, you know, Lou, in addition to that, there's something called TikTok, I believe, that the youth of America like to do, and they think it's a kind of a harmless, fun kind of thing on the media, their social media. But we heard Pompeo talking about it, that it may become outlawed because apparently it is something that Communist China is using to gather data on all of the families of these teenagers who unknowingly are having fun and as they're being tracked and all this info is being gathered. So we do have this specter of Communist China in the background, and we know about the Clinton years selling all of the secret military kinds of things to China, all of these things. We've had betrayals before, and now we do have a president who loves America. And again, Lou, right now I would like to ask you to pray with the listeners that God will make our president strong in the ways that he needs to be with that bully pulpit and whatever he needs to do to stop the police kind of disappearance and to get the law and order in action.
Yes, Elizabeth. Let's all pray together now. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will give strength, courage, wisdom to President Trump, that he can lead the country in the way that I think almost all Americans really want it led. There are these few extremists, but they are few and far between. They just make a big noise and like to raise all kinds of the devil. So we pray that you will strengthen President Trump, give him the wisdom he needs to do the right thing at the right time, and give him support from among people, from among the Congress, from among those who have influence in the country. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, going on here, we have, you know, all kinds of things about statues being torn down. We have a little headline here that people want to change the name of Rhode Island. Now, when I saw this, I thought to myself, Rhode Island, now, what's wrong about that?
And, you know, I don't come from that area of the country. You came from Massachusetts, and I have some relatives living in Rhode Island. And I thought, well, that's pretty innocuous. Well, how do we even have something like that happening? And you explained it to me because you knew something I didn't know, a total name.
Yes. Now, Rhode Island is, of course, is named for an ancient island in the Mediterranean, the island of Rhodes. I think maybe, and I could be wrong about this, I think maybe one of the seven wonders of the ancient world was at that place.
I think so.
But now, the full name of Rhode Island is not just Rhode Island. It's Rhode Island and Providence Plantation. I may not have all the words correct, but it has those words, Providence Plantation. Now, I took a minute this afternoon to look up the word plantation in the dictionary. We're all familiar with the big southern plantations, the big white enormous houses with the columns, and of course the slaves in the days before the Civil War. But the word plantation here has no such meaning. It's an archaic meaning that just means an area of land. And when Roger Williams and the early pioneers settled that little small state, our smallest state of the Union, that was the name they attached to it, Rhode Island and Providence Plantation. In fact, that latter part, Providence Plantation, may have even preceded the name Rhode Island.
So our history is being destroyed.
It is.
Anything that was innocuous, yes, exactly. It's being destroyed or twisted, and we cannot allow this. Again, we need a president with will. We need the will of Teddy Roosevelt, who, when he was a police commissioner, someone came in to offer him a bribe, and he threw him bodily out of the office. You and I read that little story in the Reader's Digest Skill Builders when we tutored some of those more than 100 students over the years when we were struggling financially. You and I never dreamed at that time we would be on radio. We would be some of the last patriots before the collapse unless God intervenes. We never dreamed it, did we?
No, we
didn't. But you see out there, if you don't do your part, you must do a little part. It's a mustard seed. Lou and I answered the call when God opened the door. When John Stadtmiller said to me from Republic Broadcasting Network, when I phoned in about my books, because I didn't know whether those books would ever go anywhere, Patriots Warning 1, America Attacked, Patriots Warning 2, Chaos and Chemtrails, and a fire destroyed what was even left of them. There are almost no books like that in existence. But you see, God was using that in another way, because I was listening to RBN, and there was a talk show host who had run out of material. And Lou and I well know what that's like. Poor Alex Jones has to extend it 3 hours, you know, wow, with commercials even. That's a long time. So I thought, this is my chance. He needs somebody to talk to him, and I can talk about my book. So I phoned in, and I talked, and the network went to a commercial. And pretty soon, John Stadtmiller came on the line and said, how would you like to come on RBN? That was the beginning. From there, we got to the Genesis Communications Network. And from there, we finally ended up 9 years ago in July. We're at a commemorative time with Todd and Don Waite of Global Star Communications. And you see, now we can be true to the Lord. There is no sponsor telling us what we can do and what we can say. We are answering to the Lord, and we are looking to Him to finance us. We thank two or three people who are faithfully helping us with a little bit. Nobody is giving us more than $100. So, you know, if the Lord lays it on your heart and you have money, you can think about that. And our post office box is 28, and the town is Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. But now, let's move right on to what Lou was saying. He had just finished telling you how history is being twisted, and these things we must point out, and we do need leadership from the top. We need Congress. We need the president. We need something to make sure that Coverstone's, Pastor Coverstone's dream and vision does not come true. November 3rd can't be numbers falling into chaos. No, we need repentance. Lou and I hope we will live long enough to see another great awakening sweep across America. But go ahead, Lou. We must get to more of the news, the headlines.
Here are some more headlines, also from July the 6th. Planned Parenthood now burning the American flag to promote abortion and the killing of more babies.
True colors are emerging, aren't they?
They are, yes. Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee signed a law that protects the unborn as soon as a heartbeat is felt. Abortion activists staged a flag burning. This was the Tennessee Advocates for Planned Parenthood, who filmed a skit in which they burned the U.S. Constitution and the American flag and lowered them into a dumpster. The next one, Rockland County, New York State, now issuing subpoenas to residents who refuse to talk to contact tracers for COVID-19. Not a hoax. Study shows coronavirus pandemic led to 18% rise in overall deaths in the U.S. from any cause.
And you know, here again, we think it's disgraceful that some of the conservative voices on Patriot Radio from the beginning said this was a hoax and that it was like the common cold and it was silly and it was totalitarian to wear masks. This was very, very shocking and disillusioning to both Lou and me. We are so sad that this gave the whole Patriot community a bad look, and it may have killed a number of people because, you know, you don't listen to anyone. You know, Lou and I are not demagogues, and you shouldn't listen to even the top Patriot figure on this matter. You must listen to God when He says, use your common sense. If older people, and you're older, get it and are sicker and die, of course you want to wear a mask. Of course you do. Go ahead, Lou.
Next one says, mask up. Says medical expert, more than 25% of coronavirus cases don't show symptoms. We've been scammed. The World Health Organization now says, quote, no evidence, unquote, of asymptomatic coronavirus transmissions. No need for restrictions if you're not sick.
And now, we're getting conflicting reports. Can you really trust the CDC? The CDC that told the states, don't test, and told those two little girls who came home, those college girls from Italy, when they called conscientiously, should we be quarantined or anything? No, you just run along, dears. You go right along home to Florida. Can we trust any information? Again, use your common sense. If it's prudent to use a mask, what does it hurt?
Next one, fake news. NBC's Gopher and Shill, Brandi Zadrozny, lies and falsely claims natural news editor Mike Adams said wearing a COVID mask increases the risk. Melinda Gates wants to target black people for priority COVID-19 vaccines.
Ooh, that's a big one.
Yes. Is COVID-19 mutating? University of Maryland, an Italian biotech company, Elise Biomed, found 8 recurrent mutations in over 200 patient samples. And let's see. Now I think we've got to go over
to you. Oh, and I think there's some more. Yes. Now, this goes back a while, but we sometime are going to talk more about the idea of the culture of death. So let's document this May 15th. We're back that far. Mexico cremating the dead on industrial scale as pandemic ravages nation. And at that time, May 15th, this thing was starting in that state where a lot of patriots were saying that this was totalitarian to have to wear masks. Texas has had 1,000 new coronavirus cases every day since last week, but Governor Abbott insists the state is ready to reopen. Virginia reports highest number of new coronavirus cases. State's reopening plans delayed. It's Northern Virginia, Accomack County and City of Richmond. Enzyme that will make Bill Gates' vaccine microchip implant work, known as luciferase. That's spelled capital LUCIFERASE. You know, this last nomenclature, listeners, referring to Lucifer, exemplifies the origin of the whole radical left. Black is white, white is black, good, evil, evil spoken of as good. Time magazine for July 6th to 13th of 2020 quoted Viet Thanh Nguyen. I hope I pronounced that right. The last name is spelled capital N-G-U-Y-E-N. This was a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, a university professor, and he said, demanding that the powerful and the wealthy share their power, and their wealth is what will make America great. Hear the Marxism? Hear this? Wow. And the same time issue listed 12 ways President Trump has supposedly deepened inequality. Now, 3 of these, and you remember we were talking about black being white, evil being good. So 3 of these things that Time thought were deepening inequality were, 1, working to block access to birth control. The second one, constructing new barriers for migrants. And 3, deferring travelers from predominantly Muslim countries. Now, most of us who are Christians and patriots who love American freedom, law and order, applaud all of these. But academia is rotten, radical to its core. Police being defunded and the $1 billion taken away from the NYPD alone. With all that going on, we have people like this in America, haters sounding off. And this, again, was from Time magazine, July 6th to 13th, 2020. And this was Eddie S. Glaude, G-L-A-U-D-E, Jr., Princeton University professor. And he's the author of a new book on James Baldwin. And this is what Professor Glaude said. The current crisis around policing and the protests in the streets confront us with the ugliness of who we are as a nation. That made my part Irish temper kind of explode, because you listeners are some of the most beautiful people. We love your letters. We love your prayers. So many of you are inspiring us. We love America, and most of the people in those inner cities, they're weeping. They're saying, we need the police. We need the police, because the elite, with their diabolical plan, they are going to make sure that the most harm comes to the weakest members of society. You know, the idea there of trying out the COVID-19 vaccine, why, yes, on the black people. Oh, yes, those poor inner-city neighborhoods, they won't be fooled forever as to who are their friends, and it sure ain't the Democratic Party. And so now we move on. More headlines. July 5th, 2020, the WHO, W-H-O, wants to push COVID-19 vaccines on billions of people as part of accelerator program. Now, we're hearing that Trump has started to take us out of the WHO. Let's hear an applause. Out there, I can hear all of you applauding. This is leadership, because the WHO was going to be promoting vaccine production in a document called COVID-19 Tools Accelerator. And there was a quote from it. No one is safe until everyone is safe. This document unveiled in April at an event co-hosted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Aren't we surprised? Who has said no evidence that masks help? Again, now they're saying that. And Mike Adams comments that this can make people think the only way to protect themselves is with a vaccine. Isn't that shrewd? You see, they rule out something good, like the hydroxychloroquine. And they try to bring in a harmful drug we've heard is harmful. It's alleged to be harmful, remdesivir, or a drug that just don't won't work. You see, they want to protect the destructive ability of their plan. This is an uphill battle for WHO, because only half of Americans are willing to get a COVID-19 vaccine. That's good news. July 4th, another headline, Newsom orders all churches to stop singing, but his Plump Jack Winery is open and fully booked for peak vaccine season. Newsom owns a sizable pile of shares in Plump Jack. July 5th, city officials in Boston unanimously vote to take down statues showing Abraham Lincoln ending slavery. Oh, this was so sad for Lou, his home state, the site of the Boston Tea Party. How can we have ever come so far, Lou?
I don't know. I practically disown the state now. It certainly is not the state I knew growing up when I was a small boy and a young man.
No, it isn't. It is time for all of us to awaken and charge the gates. Oh, by the way, the McCloskeys, there were more protesters back there. Remember, Lou? More.
Yes.
More were sent. And they found that this was planned. They were going to have a surprise. Anyway, it was kind of a plan to do this. July 5th, another headline, spike in coronavirus cases worsened by infected illegal aliens flooding into U.S. hospitals. This is, again, natural news. These are headlines from there, mainly in southern Texas and Arizona. This was happening. It's official that Texas border hospitals are over capacity with COVID patients. And now we move on again to still more. Florida tops 150,000 coronavirus cases. Infection surge at long-term care centers. This was an article at Natural News by Ralph Flores, July 5th. The Florida Department of Health reported 6,093 new coronavirus cases and 58 deaths Tuesday, raising the state's caseload to 152,143 with 3,505 deaths. This marks the seventh consecutive day that the state confirmed more than 5,000 new cases in a day, as well as its fourth highest single-day total since the pandemic began. Currently, the highest single-day total was reported Saturday with a record of 9,585 new cases. Long-term care residences are reporting new cases. These also include a total of 1,868 cases from long-term care residents, the highest since the pandemic began. These figures, in particular, were logged from those in assisted living centers and nursing homes, populations considered at risk for COVID-19, according to a report from the state's health department. The report, which was released Tuesday, breaks down location and category of the increase in new cases. As this week's caseload was up by nearly 300 from last week's figures. To note, around 1.3% of the state's long-term care population had tested positive for COVID-19. Aside from nursing home residents, the number of COVID-19 cases coming among, this is among the staff, also increased to 3,090. Now, that's important there, too, the people working there. Last week, Governor Ron DeSantis said that younger adults, now you see we're in Florida, or those between 18 to 44, were responsible for the spike in cases in the state. People from that age group have been going out and socializing more. These activities, according to DeSantis, are driving up the state's caseload. You can't control. They're younger people. They're going to do what they're going to do, he told reporters in a press conference on Sunday. Florida Senator Marco Rubio is asking young adults to follow the guidelines from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to help mitigate new infections in the state following Tuesday's figures. The real issue now is whether these new cases will lead to a higher death rate, and that really depends on what we do with this moment. And we might interject there that some of the newest medical authorities appearing on Fox News are saying that the death rate is really almost non-existent in the very young, the children and the very young people. And so we get back to this, the idea, too, it may be mutating, and that may be good or bad. But this article says, currently, the median age of people testing positive for the coronavirus is around 35 years old or younger. Rubio noted that most people in that age group are known to resist guidelines for wearing masks and social distancing. And again, we do indict those patriot figures in Texas who more or less made fun of people who were totalitarian repressed, and they were buckling under to wearing these masks. These masks were a symbol of totalitarianism. You see, this is deception, too. We don't look at an innocuous item like a spoon or a fork and call it a tyrant. The same with the mask. It's only a piece of cloth put over your face. And you have to decide whether it's important to you to wear that mask if you think the danger is real. And so again, Rubio said these young people were not wearing the masks and they were not even social distancing. Quote, statistics tell us that alone is not going to lead. I'm sorry, let me try that again. I do not have that right. Again, I'm reading loose writing. Sometimes
sorry
you can't read
that.
Mine. That's all right. But I believe this is just my fault. It's the way this is phrased. Statistics tell us that alone, and that, you see, is referring back to the masks, is not going to lead to an increase in hospitalizations, much less deaths. But what will is, if that surge in infections leads to a surge in the infections of people at high risk or over 65, he added, that needs to be the focus of all of our work right now. And I believe, Lou, you have now some important articles.
We do, yes. Now, on June 25th, National News reported the COVID-19 surge. By the next day, Friday, June 26th, already the number 34,700 was outdated. Now the boomeranging COVID crisis reached the highest single-day total during the entire pandemic up to that time, 40,000 cases in the U.S. From Tuesday, June 23rd, until Friday, June 26th, there was an increase of about 17%. And here we have this article from the Associated Press, dated June 26th. New York. The coronavirus crisis deepened in Arizona on Thursday, and the governor of Texas began to backtrack after making one of the most aggressive pushes in the nation to reopen, as the daily number of confirmed cases across the United States closed in on the peak reached during the dark days of late April. While greatly expanded testing probably accounts for some of the increase, experts say other measures indicate the virus is making a comeback. Daily deaths, hospitalizations, and the percentage of tests that are coming back positive also have been rising over the past few weeks in parts of the country mostly in the south and west. In Arizona, 23% of tests conducted over the past 7 days have been positive, nearly triple the national average. And a record 415 patients were on the ventilators. Mississippi saw its daily count of new cases reach record highs twice this week. It's not a joke. Really bad things are going to happen, said Dr. Thomas Dobbs, Mississippi's health officer. Republican Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, whose state was among the first to reopen, put off lifting any more restrictions and reimposed a ban on elective surgeries in some places to reserve hospital space after the number of patients statewide more than doubled in 2 weeks.
And now I think we'll have to shorten some things. Do you have anything from the Worldometer quickly? There's some other things.
Well, I'll just mention, those of you that have access to the Internet, one of the best sites if you want to get these statistics up to date is Worldometer, like the word world, then an O, then the word meter. And it has a variety of statistics for the United States and various countries of the world. And by looking at that, you can see which ones are rising quickly. New cases, new deaths, as well as total cases, total deaths, deaths per million of population. And just to give one or two very quick samples, total deaths in Texas is now 2,585. It doesn't say how much that has gone up. Let's see now.
How about Florida?
Florida, total deaths is 3,686. New deaths is 68. Now, that's probably in a 24-hour period, so 68 is pretty significant.
All right, now we'll move on. There was an article June 25th at Natural News by Ralph Flores. The headline was, Coronavirus Update, U.S. reports highest single-day total since April. And that total, you see, in the U.S. was 34,700. Now we move on from June, and also at that time, Florida became the seventh state to have 100,000 cases. Now we move on from June the 25th just to July 2nd. New coronavirus cases in America jumped by 50,000. You see, before it was 37,000 in a single day for the first time. And Texas at that time, July 2nd, was reporting 8,076 cases Wednesday, bringing the state's total to 168,062. And the hospitals in Texas were really under some strain. There was a shortage of intensive care beds. In Houston, the fourth most populous city in America, hospital systems were rushing to convert regular hospital beds. So, see, a lot is going on there, and we'll have to know that also increases were probably not due to more testing. And so there is some thinking on that, that also we have somewhere, don't we, Lou, that the number of deaths was too high from unaccounted causes to say that this whole thing was sort of, you know, mislabeled completely and it was a hoax. Do you remember where that is? Is that the United States?
I believe it. Well, I believe that's worldwide.
That's worldwide. But there was something else said lately, I think, about the U.S. Now, again, there was another article about these hospitals running out of space at the Lyndon B. Johnson Hospital. And Dr. Robert Phillips, the chief physician executive at the Houston Methodist Hospital System, warned staff members that the COVID-19 caseload was surging. And at the University of Texas MD Cancer Center, Anderson's Cancer Center, they were alerted that they'd be taking in COVID-19-struck cancer patients from the city's overburdened public hospital system. They weren't thrilled about that. Now, we have to move on to the next article. Do you have 16B?
Let me see now. Yes,
I do. Let's move right to that.
Yeah. A new study documents that hydroxychloroquine, I'll get that out right, does work.
And you know what? We have to shorten this immeasurably. This new study came from the Henry Ford Health Institute. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
And so now you see everybody's vindicated. Because it did work. It worked. And now we really must move on. The unthinkable has happened. DCFS removes child from home because the parent had COVID-19. This is Thursday, June the 25th, by Lance D. Johnson at Natural News. See, we're coming now to the tyranny. The L.A. County Department of Children and Family Services successfully convinced a judge to remove a child from a home because his parent tested positive for COVID-19. Is this the new normal? Los Angeles attorney Christopher Arash took to social media with the news. Today, in dependency court madness, L.A. County Department of Children and Family Services, DCFS, recommended that the court remove my client's child from their physical custody after the parent tested positive for COVID-19. This is a non-offending parent. The judge ruled in favor of DCFS and detained. Let that sink in. DCFS is asking for children to be removed from their parents' custody due to COVID-19, despite the parent making the appropriate arrangements for their child. The family is currently filing an appeal, a writ of habeas corpus, to have their child returned. There are reports of other attorneys in the Los Angeles area facing similar challenges. How much contact tracing and family separation are you going to put up with? No agency has the authority to remove a child from their private home because someone in the household is sick. This is the most unnecessary, unconstitutional, and unconscionable of acts taken so far by authorities. So how did the court get involved in the first place? When child welfare forms were originally changed to inquire if COVID-19 is present in the home, authorities intended to warn new foster families of the presence of a potential COVID-19 infection. However, it seems that this information is being used as a weapon now against families to separate children from parents and isolate them. This is important to know. For any information you give out about your family's health and travels can and may be used against you in a court of law. Due process forfeited. And again, we would mention about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's warnings about TikTok. We really want to keep some modicum of privacy and power in our individual families. But here, this shocking thing with this due process being forfeited, the article says contact tracing is being configured into many aspects of society. Setting up the infrastructure to forcibly track, isolate, test, remove, and vaccinate people with no informed consent. And again, I remember the time, again, when I was upset by another set of words that President Trump said. He said, "The vaccine is coming! The vaccine is coming!" And Lou, you said it's like Paul Revere. The British are coming. The British are coming.
Yes.
God help us. Now, back to this article. Hospital, and I want to say, I believe that President Trump has distanced himself from the big pharma complex that would force certainly any kind of a vaccine that wasn't properly experimented on and had enough control groups. We've heard about Moderna's, the sick monkeys, the sick first 15 people in the study. Certainly, this is not going to be forced on Americans, but we must keep our eyes open. So this contact tracing, you see, again, it's setting up the infrastructure to forcibly track, isolate, test, remove, and vaccinate people with no informed consent. Hospital policies now dictate that fathers cannot enter the delivery room and attend their child's birth. Lou, doesn't that shock you?
It does, yes.
An act of family separation that further conditions us to accept that children are property of the state. Medical kidnapping has been going on for a long time, but it's now uglier than ever. Contact tracers are being deployed by the thousands by state governments. People going about their daily lives are being ordered to undergo home arrest and quarantine for merely crossing paths with someone who tested positive for COVID-19. No illness, not even the slightest of symptoms, are needed to impose arbitrary 14-day quarantines on innocent people. It's important to note that these are not evidence-based quarantines. These are deliberate assaults on human freedom, an attack on our right to associate and assemble. These contact tracing efforts are dragnet breaches of individual liberty, conditioning everyone to believe that all people are, by default, biological sources of contamination and infection. Even in the spirit of protecting public health, Most of the time, there isn't even a shred of evidence to suggest that an individual be considered for isolation. Nevertheless, countless people are now being tracked down by the state's contact tracing army and told to isolate for no rational reason whatsoever. And there's a related article, Contact Tracing, Whistleblower Warns of Door-to-Door Forced Vaccinations and FEMA Kidnapping Campaigns. And I may have to get to that yet tonight. We'll see. As these infringements on our liberty continue unchecked, they open the door for more egregious abuses, which now include separating family members by the force of court order. This is a new world order medical police state where you must protect not only your family's health, but also your freedom and human dignity. And again, we invite you to go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and go into our archives section and listen to the July 2nd program. I think that we're going to have to get into this article that was related next. June 23rd at Natural News, written by Mike Adams. Exclusive. Contact Tracing Whistleblower Warns of Door-to-Door Forced Vaccinations and FEMA Kidnapping Campaigns. In a Natural News exclusive, a California-based whistleblower is stepping forward and sounding the alarm on door-to-door contact tracing campaigns, which are underway right now, justified by the coronavirus pandemic government response. These campaigns will be escalated to forced vaccinations and FEMA kidnappings of dissenters who refuse vaccines, we've learned. Now, again, we aren't sure that this will ever happen, but you must be alerted that somebody is planning some devious stuff. Back to the article, there is a video that features this whistleblower, and he's filmed in goggles and a hoodie hiding in a dark closet to conceal his identity. And this person believes they have already been added to a dissenter red list in California, flagged for possible FEMA kidnapping and forced relocation to a FEMA camp, where those who resist vaccines will be processed and then exterminated. This person's voice has been dramatically altered to protect their identity. Right now, California is hiring people to go door-to-door, creating red flag lists of vaccine dissenters, flagging them to be forced vaccinated, medically kidnapped, or executed by California government authorities in the near future. You see, if Dana Coverstone's vision comes true in November, can you see what may be going to come down? And Mike Adams says, yesterday we interviewed former FEMA Administrator Celeste Solem, who confirmed that FEMA is gearing up to medically kidnap and forcefully place American citizens into FEMA camps where so-called anti-vaxxers will be exterminated. That's not a metaphor. They will be murdered by the state. And I believe that we've given you some of this information in the July 2nd broadcast, too. But we can never overemphasize these dangers. You'll hear about the guillotines if you go to July 2nd, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and go to our archives. And now this article says, we've also confirmed from another source that FEMA's leadership has been completely overrun with communist operators who are planning on exploiting FEMA authority to flag and exterminate pro-America, pro-Trump dissidents who tend to be vaccine skeptics as well. We have also received documentation of the exact inventory of FEMA's killing machines, which have been distributed to FEMA centers across the nation. Now, I believe there, Lou, he is referring to those guillotines in the later article, and will be used to murder large numbers of dissenters who are flagged by FEMA. Make no mistake, FEMA will be the vehicle of genocide in America as the Civil War ramps up and the murderous left attempts to round up their political enemies and exterminate them in death camps. They will use vaccine compliance as one of the vehicles through which dissenters can be easily identified and later removed by force. In other words, being flagged as a vaccine resistor is now the equivalent of being placed on a government death list. And door-to-door contact tracing campaigns are the mechanism by which big government is building these lists in preparation for their, quote, purge. And there is a video there, I believe, that you can see. And I believe that Brighteon videos have some of these things that you can find. And that's spelled capital B-R-I-G-H-T-E-O-N, Brighteon videos. And we won't be able to get to everything tonight, But, Lou, I think that you might have something about the virus itself. Very quickly, we'll give a little preview of this. It was how it seems to harm older people, and maybe I'll say something that Lou might be looking for it and see it, but apparently in older people, the thymus gland is shriveled up, and it plays a very key role in the body's production of the T cells. And you see, these T cells are part of the immune system watchguard that you see would take down the virus. Do you see that?
I don't see that particular one, no.
But at any rate, you have to know, again, that it's important that you protect yourself. I would say if you're even over 60. But we always tell about that Jack Allard, A-L-L-A-R-D, who was, Lou, what sport was he in?
I believe it was lacrosse.
I think lacrosse. Anyway, he was 25 years old, and his mother came on Fox News with Martha McCollum, and he was desperately ill. And then they lifted him, probably airlifted him, to the University of Pennsylvania Medical Facilities, and he fought for his life. I think he was on a ventilator, and he did live with COVID-19. But you see, there's an exception to what we always hear. We don't know that he had any comorbidities. He was in peak physical condition, or he couldn't have been a lacrosse star. So, you see, there are always unanswerable questions. And then we told you one night about a 100-year-old woman. She was really a 102, or the math wouldn't have worked out. Supposedly, she had survived the 1918 Spanish flu and the coronavirus. So some of those TV celebrations that were held, well, more or less glamorizing the lockdowns and kind of propagandizing us to all be in the new normal. Apparently, she was honored in that. So if that's a true story, that's amazing. You see, only God knows how he created each of us. Each of us is a unique being, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Are you going to do your part? Don't let our beloved America be gone by your inaction, your apathy. Write to us at P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And if you can donate significantly, if there's someone who can give us $5,000, it would be wonderful to help us maintain what I think God told us to do, cry out until the last city is wasted. We thank those of you who are praying for us and helping us with your words and, when you can, donations. Good night.